Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Open your Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And I want to talk about the church's job description. Our president said to us this morning, they will see you before they hear you. So I want to talk about the church's job description. And from time to time, I think if you have a job, you need to be reminded of your job description. Before someone hires you, before someone gives you that great salary, you need to know the duties and the tasks and the responsibilities. You need to know your work location. You need to know your job description. And this morning, I thought on this church fair day that we talk about the church's job description, what the church should be all about, what my church, your church, everyone's church should be about. So we'll be reminded of the church's job description. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And here's what it says. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, or literally all people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Shall we pray? Father, bless us in our time together as we rediscover the job description that you have for your church. We love you, we thank you, and we honor you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The church's job description. I think there are three things that the church should be about. The first part of your job description is simply this: make disciples. Make disciples. Everyone say that with me. Make disciples. That's the first part of your job description, is to make disciples. Matter of fact, the verse says this: go ye therefore, go and make disciples. The idea here is that we don't tell them to come to our church, but the Lord Jesus tells us to go. Now, our Savior has just been resurrected from the dead. He gets up with all power in his hand, power on earth, power above the earth, power beneath the earth. He has all power in his hands. Some came worshiping, and some came doubting. Now, just side note, if I were Jesus, I'd send all the doubters home. But here's what he says, even to the doubters, even to the worshipers. He says, go, go therefore. You know, it's always interesting to me that churches will have people come, but that's not our job description. Our job description is to take the gospel to where they are. Our job description entails saying, hey, we want to meet you where you are with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is a disciple? It's a lifelong learner. I'm always impressed when I see a senior adult come and learn more about Jesus. I'm always impressed when I see a child come to learn more about Jesus, and all in between. I think the church's main part of our job description is to make disciples, make these lifelong learners. Matter of fact, when they come in, they're not perfect. A church is a hospital for sinners, not a club for saints. And so many times we churches become more like a monument instead of a movement, where we come and we're impressed about what we have done instead of getting impressed about what God will do. Because church should be making disciples. Every church, the living church of our God, should be making disciples. Lives should be changed, transformed with the good news. I believe miracles should show up every week. Miracles should always happen when lives are changed, when marriages are put back together again, when people are restored to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our job is to make disciples. As a matter of fact, we should go, meet them where they are, and make disciples. if everyone would take this as a personal responsibility, especially while we're here studying and learning about the Lord at CIU, if we would take this part of our job description seriously, we would go into our churches, we would partner up, we would plug in and help churches in Columbia make a difference by making disciples. As a matter of fact, we want to disciple the church in order to make an impact on the world. The first part of our job description, brothers and sisters, is to make disciples. Somebody said, well, no, I came here to study. I know, but make disciples while you're here. I came here to play sports. Yes, I understand, but make disciples while you're here. I came here to find a husband or to find a wife. Yeah, I understand. I understand, but make disciples. Every last one of us in this room, God has uniquely gifted us in order to carry out the mission of making disciples. The second part of our job description, if you look back at that verse one more time, is the second of all, mark disciples. Not only is it to make disciples, but second of all is to mark disciples. Mark disciples. He tells us here, still in verse 19, he reminds us of this. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, really all people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our job is to mark disciples. Literally, it's to brand them. That's the idea of baptism, where we come and we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can debate whether it's done by sprinkling or by immersion. We can debate different forms of even pouring, but nonetheless, it's our job to mark disciples. Not just make disciples, but to mark disciples so that the world knows they're set apart. How do you know a policeman is a policeman? Well, I look for the badge and the gun. How do you know a fireman is a fireman? I look for the fireman's outfit. How do you know a cook is a cook? I look for an apron. How do I know a believer is a believer? Because they've been baptized. They have been branded. I'm from a small town, Dillon, South Kankakee. Yes, for those, wait a minute, hold up now, how'd you know that? Wow, you got it right, brother, you got an A for the day, amen. I'm from Dillon, did I say South Kankakee? That's South Carolina to the rest of you all. And I was born in Marion Memorial Hospital. My father had to work the day I was born, but after work, he rushed over to the hospital. I was already alive and in the world kicking and screaming. And they tell me my dad checked on my mom, then he went down to where they keep the babies in the hospital. And he was standing at the glass looking in, and one of the nurses said, do you want me to point out which one is yours? And he said, no, I already see him. Said, how do you know which one is yours? Because he's been branded. He looks like me. He has a head shaped like my head. Y'all ain't working with me here today. He's been branded. My grandfather used to have a few head of cattle. Still right there in the big city of Dillon, go Wildcats. And one day, one of our cows decided to roam the neighborhood and visit some other, I don't know why he was there, but he decided to go visit some other cattle. When we caught up with the cattle, we confronted the guy that pretty much took the cattle in as his own. We said, that's our head of cattle. That's what my grandfather told him. He said, how do you know? He said, it's that R that's branded on him that kind of lets everyone know that he belongs to us. You know, our job is not just to make disciples. Our job is to mark disciples. I started a church here in Columbia 18 years ago. And we didn't have facilities, and we used to meet in a hotel. And one of the cool things about meeting at a hotel is that they had a swimming pool. Okay, y'all not with me yet. I said they had a swimming pool. And that sounded pretty groovy to me. And when people would give their life to Christ, I would meet with them and share about church. Then I would say, would you like to be baptized? They say, yes, but where are we gonna be baptized? I said, you know, there's a swimming pool out back. And I'd take them out back and we'd get in the pool. And what was so cool was people would be visiting that hotel, maybe for the weekend or whatever. And they'd come out and they'd watch the baptismal service. And I'd talk real loud then. And I'd share about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? They say, yes, I do. I said, do you believe he suffered, died, and was buried for your sins? Yes, I do. Do you believe one day he's coming back? Yes, I do. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'd put them under. One person told me I almost dropped them one day, but it was fun. It was cool. Because I think that's how baptism should be done. Publicly, the world should gather around and pay attention because this person is being branded. I think this preamble to the Spirit, we're being baptized into one body. Christ gives us this job description for the church that we mark disciples. And I'd ask you this morning, have you been marked? Have you been baptized? And if you have, do you still act like you've been baptized? By the way you behave, do we notice that you're still baptized? By what the fruit that you produce, have you been baptized? The thoughts that you have, the thoughts that you communicate, have you been baptized? Because the challenge here is not only to make disciples, but to mark disciples. One of my good friends who preaches here regularly, Reverend Andre T. Melvin, reminded us one day. He said, you can't swim with the fish and try to catch them too. You got to make up your mind which one you want to do. And for some of us, we need to realize that, hey, we've been branded. We've been set apart. We're different now. That's part of the church's job description, that we're not just making disciples, but we're marking disciples, that we're set apart for this task. But not only that, there's a third part of this job description. Not only should we make disciples, not only should we mark disciples, but I think there's a third part. We should be maturing disciples. We should mature disciples. That verse 20 captured this for us, and it says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This verse 20 here, when it talks about maturing disciples, how do they become mature? It's when they study. It's when they learn as lifelong learners, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Not part of it, not just the nice parts, but the parts you don't like. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. I've heard preachers say, I don't want to preach on anything hard because that chases people away. You know, it may chase them away, but it's all that he's taught us. I've looked at Matthew's gospel over the years, and he's bringing up some hard things. I mean, from the inauguration address that he brings up in chapter 5. I mean, when he tells us in chapter 5 about being the salt and about being the light, he teaches us all things. He teaches what to think and what not to think, how to behave and how not to behave. I'm thankful of the examples that he gave us in Matthew's gospel. The fact that he was baptized and the Lord himself was baptized. And we can glean from his, I wish my baptism was like his, when the dove descended from heaven and showed up. And God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I was waiting for that to happen the day I was baptized, but it didn't quite happen that way. I'm blessed when I read Matthew chapter 7, when he reminds me that I shouldn't judge. When he reminds me, hey, just because you're doing good stuff doesn't mean that you're part of his kingdom. Many will say on that day, I've done this and I've done that. But he says, depart from me because I never knew you. He reminds me of things like that. He reminds me not to worry. He reminds me not to be anxious, to be anxious for nothing in chapter 6. He reminds me that he took care of the lilies, he'll take care of me. If he took care of the birds, he'll take care of me. He reminds me to don't worry about what I should eat, drink, what I should wear, almost where I should live, because God will take care of those things. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe God's got your back this morning? Even with a hurricane approaching, God still has your back. Amen. Teaching them to observe everything. I'm blessed by the parables that I read in chapter 13. I'm blessed when I read the eschatology in chapters 24, 25, 26. I'm blessed with the whole book, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. You know, brothers and sisters, there's no perfect church. And if you find a perfect church, don't join it. Why? Because the day you join it won't be perfect anymore. Y'all praying with me, aren't you? This church doesn't have cool music. Lend your talents to make it cooler then. This church doesn't have a discipleship program. Wonderful, that's why you're there now. You bring your gifts to the church. This church doesn't have a cool youth ministry. You do it. This church doesn't have awesome greeters. I needed somebody to greet me when I got out of my car. Nobody greeted me. Well, if you can see it, that's why you're there now, to be the head usher, to be the head greeter now. This church doesn't have any PowerPoint. Okay, wonderful. Since you've noticed, you do it for us. There's no such thing as a perfect church. This church is biblically illiterate. I know more than everybody in this church, including the pastor. Never go with an attitude like that. Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I want to say that one more time. Can I say it one more time? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If you find a perfect church, that church ain't for you. You know, sometimes when we choose churches like customers or consumers. We want everything to be right when we get there. But I never read that on our job description. Jesus tells us to make disciples, mark disciples, and to mature disciples. Church can be a different kind of place. I mean, it changes from week to week, sometimes like the weather. Y'all praying with me, aren't you? Sometimes church is great this Sunday. Sometimes church is not so good the next Sunday. Church changes. It's dynamic. The body of Christ is dynamic. And guess who else goes up and down in their resolve? You and I. But thanks be to God, he tells us to mature disciples. The church is not a perfect place where perfect people gather, perfect things are said, perfect things are done, perfect thoughts, perfect feelings. The church is a place made up of imperfect people, gathered to provide an environment, to foster an environment of support and service to each other, and to press on in our journey to return to our Heavenly Father. That's what the church is all about. I've tried to remind us of the church's job description this morning. Your job and my job this morning, make disciples. It's hard to make what you're not, so make sure you're growing. Make sure you're learning. Our job this morning is to mark disciples. Make sure you're living a life that's set apart. Reverend Melvin, we can't swim with them. Catch them too. This morning, make sure that you're maturing disciples. Have a growth plan while you're here. Make sure you're learning how to observe all things, all the counsel of God. You know, I'm done, but I just like to say one more thing. Sometimes we criticize other churches because they're not like our church. I wish in the body of Christ we'd realize we're on the same team. And instead of being critical of one another, let's learn how to support one another and build one another up with the good news of Jesus Christ. Will you commit to doing that? Will you commit to being the salt and the light that this book has already asked us to be? Because we're observing all that he's commanded us. Can you learn how to pray like Matthew 6 tells us to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Can you make this while we're here on earth? If the angels were to visit your house, that it wouldn't be a Nightmare on Elm Street, but it'd be more like a little house on a prairie, because we're looking toward our heavenly home. So this morning, here's your job description. Here are the different parts. Make disciples, mark disciples, and mature disciples. Grow up while you're here. Plug in while you're here. Do what you need to do in order to make. Don't forsake the assemblies of yourselves together. I know one of those Greek professors going, it's in verse 24, stir up one another's gifts then and get it done. And here's my final challenge to you. Look at that final challenge. Go and do your job, and do your job well. This is the church's job description. Can we pray? Father, I pray today that you remind each and every one of us that even while we're here studying, that we're not here just to get a degree, we're not here just to be good employees, but we're here to make a difference in the earth. And I pray that as we look to our job description, as we leave here today, I pray that we're making disciples, that we're strategic about it as well, that we're looking for people that we can ask to join to become lifelong learners, that we'll brand them, we'll mark them, and Father, we'll mature together as we'll reserve all things. In Christ's name I pray. You know, I'm done, but can I just tell you this last thing as I go to my seat? Some of us have been doing for the Lord, but the last part of the verse is said, lo, I'll be with you always until the end of the age. Maybe instead of doing so much, he wants you to be with him. And as you be with him and out of that love, you can do the job description. God bless you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.